Safe as Houses, podcast number 10. Well, our heroine, Sally Yan, has won the race, the home run. She's reached the goal, that comic book store, and she hasn't been killed by the vampires that infest any place which is not a home. And there she is, waiting, when Bunt, the race organizer, arrives. He's scattering blood right and left for the adoring vampires who are fawning over him like a chorus of dancing girls. He reaches the door, and there she is waiting for him, to demand her prize, which is the life of her sister Carrie Ann. This is Volume 1, Chapter 8, Welcome. The second Bunt saw Sally at the goal ahead of him, he whipped out his phone and tapped several times. "I checked in here already. You don't have to do it for me," Sally yelled sweetly over the vampire noise. Bunt snarled and put his phone away again. Sally knew, of course, that he'd gone online to check in at Fantasy Life Comics so that he could claim that he was there first. He looked at her with his flat gray eyes. The snarl smoothed into a smile. He still had some secret weapon. He pushed open the broken door and walked calmly in, looked her up and down.
"Door was unlocked, you feeb. Why'd you break it? Charlie let me use this place for free. Now I gotta pay him."
He was trying to goad her into doing something stupid. She knew that. "It was unlocked because I unlocked it. I'm here. I won. Pay up." Her heart was hammering as she waited. "I could kill him," she thought. "We're alone together for the first and probably the only time." Her right hand sweated onto the wood grain of the stake that she held. But she didn't dare. He still held Carrie Ann's life. Behind Bunt, she saw Lavinia inch the Comer camper forward so that it filled the doorway again, its old engine inaudible over the clamoring of the vampires. If they'd had any brains, they might have called to Bunt, who they clearly adored. Did they have brains? Mostly, they just had numbers. Nobody knew where the first vampire came from, but the situation now, where they hung in painful equilibrium with living humans, was a simple logistic growth curve which Sally had learned about in calculus. It was not the result of craft. She wasn't sure if this train of thought was important, so she skimmed quickly through the painful math. One vampire drinks, and then there are two. Two vampires drink, and then there are four. Then 8, then 16, 32, 64, 128, and so on and so on, until in just 20 days there's over 1,000,000. In just a month, over 1,000,000,000, except there was a ceiling above which the population could not grow. Almost no new vampires were made now because the competition for blood was so fierce that anybody caught outside was torn into tiny pieces and devoured. Nothing was left to rise and walk. This old information did not tell her why the Jiangxi, the Chinese hopping vampires, still seemed important, even beyond the chance resemblance to the stiff way Bunt walked. She shook her head. This was getting her nowhere. The vampires kept up their cajoling, some of them surging under the van until they filled the doorway again. Sally saw Bunt's eyes scan her body with wet appreciation, then snap up to meet hers.
"What do you want, baby girl? You're wet in here for me. You win everything. What do you want?"
"You know what I want." He shifted backwards one step at her sharp tone, but then he regained his superior smile. She spoke more calmly. You know what I ran for. You have a slicer collar around my sister's neck. You let her come to me to entice me into playing your game. Give me the key to that thing you have on her neck and the code to unlock it. She glared into his eyes. Then she tried to look humble. He still might just hand it over. With an insolent look, he reached into the pocket of his neon orange Sierra Designs jacket and felt around. Let's see, is it in this pocket? Oh, must be in this pocket. You're not going to give me what I want, are you? I want it fair and square, and you're cheating. She waited, ready for anything, letting him make the first move toward violence. When he didn't move, she goaded him further. I know how you win these runs. I figured it out. You're such a pathetic, fat, white slug. He stiffened, and again she thought of the Jiangshi, heard her father's voice explaining what they were, resentful corpses, so stiff that they could only move by hopping. Her father had told her they were not for little girls to watch. No, these movies were not for little girls. But he had still answered her fascinated questions with a patience which he showed only when she asked about things Chinese. She automatically suppressed the fascinated loathing she felt whenever she thought about her father and the confused but linked longing for Lavinia's commanding hand on her ass. And she tried to think what the Jiangshi meant in this situation.
I don't know what you're talking about, Bunt said.
And she saw him reach a decision that she knew would be bad for her. She threw everything into a last gamble. I saw you throwing her blood around to the vampires. That's why they don't attack you. They know you're a source of free blood. I see how they fawn on you. You've got, like, this cult following among them. That's how you can wait until you know everyone else is dead and then just walk to the goal. What do? Bleed her once every couple of weeks? That's why you only hold these runs every couple weeks. She remembered how pale Carrie Anne had been when she had come to her. I'm surprised you don't have a whole bank of women captives, but you're too pathetic to get hold of but one. But his face was full of surety now.
I'm the master of every one, he chortled.
She hated the thrill that went through her when she thought he was going to call himself master of all masters. He looked at her with loathing.
You didn't beat me, you lose now. Hey, vampires!
He suddenly bellowed. The racket outside tightened to a prolonged hiss. Everything happened in agonized, slow motion. Bunt spoke three syllables.
You're welcome!
And Sally understood that he was going to invite the vampires in, hoping they would shred her to pieces and leave him alone. She lunged for him, knowing that she could not stop his words in time, cursing herself for waiting too long. But through the open door and the intense silence, Lavinia cut him off with these words.
You can't say you're welcome until I say thank you.
Bunt sputtered. The vampire snarled their disappointment. They couldn't surge inside until he actually said, "You're welcome to enter." Lavinia had changed his meaning, but only for this instant. He opened his mouth to start his sentence again, but this time Sally was ready.
"Thanks, you bastard!" she shouted,
and pointed to her inadequate, but she hoped he wouldn't know that, final weapon. The phone, which she had hitched to her waist with the video lens pointing out.
You've just showed the world what you really are.
She wondered if it would be better to say, "This is streaming live right now," or just leave it implied. She didn't have the capacity to actually stream live video. Her phone was recording video now, but the best she would be able to do would be to stop the recording and start uploading it to YouTube, a process which might take an hour, and was just as likely to freeze and require a reboot. She saw his pallid, bald head incline toward the phone, and she feared that his crafty eyes were studying it and deciding that it was too old and slow for live streaming. She decided not to over-explain. Let him draw his own conclusions. His head swiveled, looked at Lavinia hunched over the wheel of her camper, holding something tight in her hands. And he seemed to put two and two together and come up with a four which made sense to him. Sally blessed her instinct not to say any more. He seemed to have decided that Lavinia was holding some recording equipment which backed her up. Sally had no idea what she was actually holding, but Bunt had decided that he was on camera to the world, so he turned back to Sally with a troubled smile.
"I think you're the cheater if you came here with that bint out there. You're supposed to get here on your own."
"Give me the key. The world knows what a bastard you are now. You cannot hold these runs any more."
"They heard you say shit."
"Lies."
"I didn't say nothing. You don't know nothing about no secret. You're just 100% wrong is all."
Sally decided to risk everything on one last gamble. "You seem to think this is already going out live," she said, even more grateful that she hadn't told him it was. "We're just recording it now. When I give the word, my friend out there uploads it, unless you give me the key right now." Terror struck her that she might have given away her only advantage. He turned, looked at Lavinia, and then started for her. He knew how long it would take to upload on the fastest connection possible, and figured that getting Lavinia was his chance. He lunged through the door into the midst of the hungry vampires, but they still held back from attacking him. Lavinia threw what she was holding into their midst. It must have been the bloody wrapping from her finger, because they dived on it like sharks in a feeding frenzy, their seething bodies blocking Bunt's movement. Lavinia floored the accelerator. The van lurched to the right and out of Sally's field of vision. But with the vampires pressed thick around it, she wouldn't be able to drive fast. And in a moment, Bunt would be past the blockade and would catch her. Nothing would keep him from reaching into the van and killing her. But in that moment when he had lurched around and run out the door, it had come to her. What she was trying to remember about the Jiangxi. She staggered as the memory flooded in, and she realized what it meant. That's the end of this episode. This story is copyright 2013 by me, Michael Litsky. The music is by Chris Zabriskie. For the print version of this story and much more, please visit my website, www.fictionandmore.com. I'm going to take next week off for Thanksgiving, so please join me in 2 weeks for the next chapter, which will be Chapter 9, Victory. I'll see you then.